David, how you doing, man?
Fantastic, Baron. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about people want to be saved. And I think people typically hold out that the next savior is on the way, whether that's in their spiritual life, their business, their work life. If they're an entrepreneur, they hold out that, oh, the next person, this person with this shiny golden carrot, dangling a carrot, just, I've got all the solutions. I've got all the answers to your problems. And somehow you're going to save me. And people want to be rescued. And I think it's subtle for a lot of people. Could be listening right now. Not me. I'm too smart or too resourceful or too self-sufficient. But I think those people are even the most susceptible to these dazzler, razzler people. And they're not always dazzlers. Sometimes they seem very practical, but I want to get into, you have to save yourself. No, at the end of the day, no one's going to do the work for you. At the end of the day, help is not on the way if you're not first helping yourself, and more than helping yourself, but really doing the work required, whether that's on yourself, your own physical, mental, spiritual well-being, or in the realm of your business or as an entrepreneur. But at the end of the day, we need to be an individual, and we have to have both hands on the steering wheel of our lives. And you can come across people with great answers, great solutions, and yet that those are their answers and their solutions. And you're living out other people's answers and other people's solutions. I'm not talking about not collaborating with people and having teachers or people that can do things that you cannot do. But yet, if you're looking for at some subtle level to be rescued, you're in trouble. What say you, David?
I would say everybody's looking to be rescued. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what you've achieved in your life. I don't care if you have this sense of I'm invulnerable, which many people actually do. They are not aware of the fact that everybody's time is running out. So I looked up the word false, because in a sense, everybody's looking for a false savior. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, but they don't hold it as a false savior. They're looking for just to be saved.
Right. But the word false gives a lot of interesting clues to the idea of why something that's false won't work. Number one, contrary to fact or truth. Now, so you could believe anything. Look at the diets that people go on. This is the thing that's going to change my life, right? They're going to go on this diet. And then, so here's number two, deliberately untrue. There are people that know exactly how to press and push all of our buttons and get our attention and get us believing something. And then here's number three of the definition of false: arising from mistaken ideas.
Yeah.
So innately, I think we all have a sense, and I think it's hardwired into the human, that we need a savior. I think we do need a savior. Absolutely. I need a savior. I need the savior to save me from myself, because I come into this world, I have all these animal impulses and these instincts, I'm going to act on them until my life becomes miserable enough and painful enough to where I turn around and I go, this is not working. Now what do I do? Where do I go? Who do I reach out to? So I'll just give you one.
We need a roadmap, and we also need someone. Is it someone or something greater than ourselves that we can hand ourselves over to? Now I'm speaking spiritually.
Yeah.
To me, it's the teachings of Jesus, those principles for living. And it takes away the need to constantly be trying to fix yourself.
Yeah.
Because you hand yourself over and you live by certain guidelines, certain principles, certain covenants, certain ways that forgiveness, laying down your ego life and picking up a new life, breathing in a new life that you can't give yourself, but it's given by living in certain ways. But yet, we still hold out that somehow we don't have to do anything. It's, I think your dad used to say, a born-again turkey is still a turkey.
Yes.
Because you can just say, oh, I give my life over to Jesus, or I give my life, I don't know, whatever the word language is, but it could be to any new guru or any new marketing expert who's going to build your business out. And yet it's not like that. You have to live it and do the work of it and discover answers for yourself within yourself.
You know what I found interesting when I discovered that the Catholic Church, and I love Catholics, by the way, but the Catholic Church is okay with people drinking and gambling. I would have thought that's really not something that the average person should be doing, although drinking is not necessarily a sin, and neither is gambling. But at the same time, it's a false idea. Drink? What does drink do? It's a salvation from feeling down or miserable, or some people become really more angry when they drink.
It's like a self-medicating self.
Exactly.
Yeah. And then the same dull. Thing. You go dull and dumb.
And too then the same
pot,
thing.
Like pot, drinking, moderation, having a drink, here, a glass of wine or a beer here and there. Okay. But when it becomes a way of a part of your life, it clouds you. Something like that.
Yeah. And then you look at one of the biggest false salvations, and that is, in my opinion, gambling. And you have a lottery, and $1 billion, somebody just won a huge lottery. And so everybody takes a little piece of that pie and puts their dollars and their $10 and whatever in, hoping they're gonna
save
win the jackpot. Right.
Again, save them, right?
Hey, you have Las
if
Vegas.
I win the lottery or go to Vegas and gamble, and it's going to save me from all my financial woes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like the big nipple is going to come along and just take care of me.
Yeah.
It's almost, is that where this comes from? Like this inherent need that somehow we're going to be rescued. We're going to be taken care of. Someone's going to come along and just take care of us. And save us. And okay. So we get sold on other people's goods. And then, but then we end up selling out on ourselves.
Look, everybody is looking for something that is elusive. And that thing or this property that we're looking for is called hope. And here, again, let's go to the dictionary, because I love just deconstructing words. It makes more sense when you understand what you're talking about. Hope, to wish for a particular event that one considers possible. Oh, that's gambling right there. To have confidence or trust. Now, that's an entirely different paradigm, because I have hope that at the end of my life that I will receive salvation and be able to transcend this worldly existence into a heavenly realm. That's my hope. And here's the next one, number three, to desire and consider possible, to expect. Now, the problem is that we have life chipping away at us every day. And where does it chip away at us? In here, in our head.
In the head, in our thoughts.
Yeah.
In the stories that live in our heads.
Yeah.
And we interact with those stories, we interact with those thoughts, and we get trapped, we get stuck in a world that's not related to the world, reality.
Yeah, we have our own construct, which I call the mind, the holodeck on Star Trek. It's a virtual reality, in a sense, and that's why people connect so intensely with virtual reality constructs, because they've got one already going on in here. It was there from the day they were born. And then it was fed by information from the outside world. And you coined this term, outformed, as opposed to being informed or inwardly formed. So we are all people who come into this world with a clean slate, and then the world starts to put itself inside of us. And what's in the world is, in a manner of speaking, the polar opposite of what's in the heavenly realms. And in the heavenly realms, the kingdom of heaven is a place where we don't get the kind of stuff that we're getting from the outside world. And by the way, the Bible, and we talk about this, says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And there's a piece of that which has been, it's hard to find, but it's still there. from within. Mm-hmm. Because the well is inside of you. It's not outside of you. Yes, there's water that we drink from the well in the world, but at the same time, there's an inner well that we can drink from, and that is the living water.
Yeah, and it's locating that well within us, that springs.
Yeah.
A natural water, a springs bubbling up from the earth. We have that within us, and it's getting quiet enough, getting still enough, getting present enough to find that source within you, your true north. And I think the more we keep looking to the outside for answers and thinking that's the next answer, the next solution, the next savior somehow is going to do it for us, the more I've gone down that path, the more I just discover and realize and know for myself that's an empty package. I can learn through others, and just like I learned through our conversations right here, I'm always discovering newly, but yet it has to be discovered within myself for myself. To me, that's real true self-help, is when you see for yourself and not just being hooked by all the outside temptations and all the outside. I think that's why communism is so attractive to so many people, is because it's like this big nipple is going to come along and just take care of you. But that becomes a hell, because life isn't easy. Life is just suffering is a part of life. But yet, are you going to suffer in virtue and discover who you are and what your life is for yourself, and maybe take good insights and answers and practical solutions from others that you trust their voice and their experience? Okay, yeah. But it has to measure up to your own inner compass.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just following another empty package.
Yeah. The problem that most people have, and they've been trained, programmed to be this way, is that everything is outcome-based. And so when we first started this conversation before we went on the podcast, you said that there are a lot of entrepreneurs that are looking for the next person to save them, to save their business, to enrich them. But if that's only an outcome-based activity, then their hope is in this transitive verb to wish for a particular event that one considers possible. But see, there's true hope, there's real hope, and then there's false hope. And the false hope is always self-serving. False hope is self-serving. We construct saviors in our mind. Oh, look, one that's going to save me, that one.
Yeah, and exactly. And if you have that kind of view, that viewpoint, and that kind of looking, you want to be rescued, then those characters will show up in your scene.
They sure will.
They will show up. They will sell you. They will enroll you. They will get you bought in. But then you're somehow giving all your power away in trusting that someone else knows better than you for your own life. And I think that's what we're getting to here, is you need to know for yourself. You need, the unexamined life is not worth living. You have to examine your own life and have some inner measuring stick where you measure truth and reality and through deception. Otherwise, you're vulnerable. You're a leaf in the wind out there, just buying into the next good thing that is going to somehow improve you. Nothing replaces you getting on that yoga mat and going through those movements and doing the breathing and the practice for yourself. Nothing is going to replace you going to the gym or getting outside and doing what you need to do physically for yourself, the kinds of food you need to put in your mouth, what to eat and not eat. We know that you want to lose weight, you want to get healthy, you know what to do. You need to move, breathe, meditate. You need to be mindful of the food you're putting in your mouth or not. And the more you get into that practice, you start seeing the subtleties of, oh yeah, I used to be able to eat certain foods. I can't now. Or I used to think I could. Or when I was younger, I just had a grace period. When we're younger, we can put a lot of things in our body and not really notice it. Or the quality of sleep you have, the algorithms of sleep on a daily consistent basis, taking care of your creature, having a relationship with your creator, and living a life that's true, but from within you, from within yourself.
Baron, the desire to know the truth, first of all, if you know the truth will set you free or will make you free. Now, if you can't see that you have false hope, you can't see the truth. You're blinded. And this is why it's important for people to lean into whatever it is that's actually true as opposed to virtually true. Because there's all kinds of... When you get into a video game, your body starts to react as if you're actually there. So a virtual reality of false hope is a death sentence, in my opinion. And when I remember when I started reading the Bible, I was probably about 12, 13, 15 years old, maybe.
And I was reading yoga books.
Yeah. My dad had a library. 12,
13.
Yeah.
I was reading books like Autobiography of a Yogi. And I was on like this pursuit of some kind of spiritual truth.
I remember, I was going to say, my dad had a library of about 5,000 books that people had given him over the course of his life. One of those was the Urantia book, how the aliens came and they have different blood and they're different colored people and all this stuff. And I read that.
I remember that. That's like a New Agey thing, Arantha.
Totally.
A channeler even maybe. Was it Arantha channeled like thousands of years old?
Wise. But see, I didn't see when I was a kid, I could see that was just like, okay, whatever. It didn't resonate with me. So
it's like a sci-fi world.
Exactly. And I'm a sci-fi guy. I love sci-fi, but sci-fi is just that. It's fiction.
Right. It is what it is. So, and to know the difference.
Becomes reality.
Yeah. When sci-fi becomes your reality in life, you're living in an imagination world.
So I wanted to say just this one thing, and I know we have to wrap.
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all the other things will be added unto you. Now, see, that is a selfless thing, because you cannot seek the kingdom of heaven in a selfish way and have it work. It backfires. When you try to manipulate God, look, he just turns his back on you. So that's the takeaway here.
Yeah.
Forget about the false saviors. Yeah, there are people that know how to do marketing and all the rest of it. Know that you're taking risks. It's like gambling. You're probably going to lose.
Yeah.
But if you bet on your creator who brought you into this world and all other things, and I know people have a hard time believing that, but if you begin to bet on God and make it so that it's realistic, you'll see your life will turn around.
Yeah, and I like, for me, heaven is not, I don't know if there's a hereafter heaven, but I do know that heaven is here now. And as an ever-present presence, whatever heaven represents, whatever it symbolizes, living a good life, living a full life, living a purposeful, meaningful life that's consistent with who you are, your life, not someone else's, selling you their life. And then if you live their life, you will have heaven on earth here. No, live your life. And one thing I'll throw in here before we wrap is hope, because we've been talking about hope here. And hope, there's false hope. And then and that's where we get wrapped into things that we get that we are left disappointed, another empty package. But if you just open your eyes and ears and really see, be connected, be related to reality, I don't even know if you need hope. Because to me, hope is for suckers, in that I can hope to lose 10 pounds or I can hope to this person's going to rescue me. But no, I have to actually, if I want to lose the 10 pounds, I need to diet and exercise. If I've got too much stress and anxiety and fear in my life, I can hope it's going to go away, but no, I have to get present. I have to get still. I have to get related to what's true and what's just in my imagination. And there's no hoping in that. That's actually what I'll call doing the work. And to stop looking for saviors on the outside and hoping that the next savior and the next nipple is going to come along and somehow rescue me. It's not going to happen. I've tried that strategy and it's failed me every time. In life, in business, in relationships, every new person coming along thinking I can take my hands off the steering wheel, it's cost me hundreds of thousands of dollars to, every time I've taken my hands off and handed things over to the next savior or hero. And you always have to keep at least one hand on the steering wheel. That's what I've learned. All right, you all, thank you. Oh yeah, I'm Baron Baptiste. This is David Masters. We love responding to your questions. If you have questions, send them in to disruptingthedrift@baronbaptiste.com, disruptingthedrift@baronbaptiste.com. We drop these on YouTube twice a week on Disrupt the Drift, also on Baron Baptiste Podcast, those two channels. And be well, stay true, stay bold, and keep disrupting the drift. And peace be with you.